strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
A celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from nowhere.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left foot snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all the credit. They've built something fantastic and they're just going to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And that game was more fun. But, oh my god, it's hard to... With everything that's going on, it sort of feels like a long time ago.
It does. To dwell on the positive, on Sunday night, I'd already, but by sort of 9 a.m. Monday morning, I'd already watched the replay because I don't know, I really enjoyed the game. And I don't know if that's partly just because we won or, you know, there was a bit more flow to it or it felt like we had, you know, you were supporting a team that was really trying hard again. I don't know. Like, I thought the team, you know, I actually. There was sort of, you could guess that, even though there was speculated that people might remember that there was two players who were thinking of opting out of the hub, and it was pretty obvious Basho was going to be one of them because of his family situation, and he really played hard, like he played like it was his last game, and, you know, the whole team did. It was much more fun to... watch a team like that play than the sort of the last few weeks where it all felt a bit half-hearted. But I have to say, like, you know, the flip side of it is, like, that game was an abomination if you're a Melbourne fan.
So they spent 3 first-round draft picks. And these are Melbourne first-round draft picks, so, you know, good ones. On Jake Lever and Stephen May. And Stephen May's a perfectly, perfectly solid key defender. But, whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're future ones, so they don't even have the great young Colt this year to look forward to.
That was a separate deal, actually. With North Melbourne. Yes. Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, Jake Lever is, he's already been dropped once. He's... You know, not even replacement value. But, you know, like just to recall this, we had so many injuries. We lost 3/4 of the starting midfield, and we lost another important player, and yet somehow we still, a lot of middle it started happening later in the game, so the timing was good, but it was still, you know, they didn't fire a shot. They didn't come back at us hard, despite BT's he's almost like a...
Feverish barracking for a close result.
It's hucksterism, you know. It's like he turns up as a travelling roadshow and tries to, in the town in the Old West, and tries to sell you his miracle elixir.
Yeah, Yeah, we won comfortably with a quarter and a half of Marby Achol rucking against Max Gorn.
Yeah, do you know Max Gorn Racing was within like about 1% of Nank had the week before. He had a pretty big game, so he didn't kill us. But you know, Marb's had his moments too, which we'll analyse in a sec. But overall, it was just you really felt the team was invested, it was locked in. Cochin was everywhere with his pressure axe. You know, it was actually just really fun to watch.
Yeah, I being back at the MCG helps. Sniff sob. You know, Jake Art's debut, I thought that was really nicely done. I mean, as always, but having Steve Morris, another guy who did a long apprenticeship in state league footy, present his jumper. The whole team felt like it functioned better. Like, even I thought our finishing for goal even was a bit sloppy at times, but yeah, just everything was working better. But yeah, although the injury toll by the end,
yeah, well, it was. There's a lot there. By the way, our expected accuracy, we actually scored one more point than we would normally. So did Melbourne. So, but you know, I know goal kicking haunts you. Lots to unpack there. But yeah, like the pressure axe, or through the game total, was you know, fairly even. That they got a lot back in the last quarter. When it was high in the first two quarters, we beat them. We sort of beat them through efficiency inside 50. Most of the key stats were actually pretty even. In fact, we lost disposals in the first two halves, and also lost in disposal effectiveness. But you know, everything was fairly even. Like if you were to look at clearances, actually lost tackles too. But you know, most of the key stats. But we just used our inside 50s better, and that's actually sort of was the Richmond way of last year. And yeah, you know, we got quality shots. Let's still unpack there. If we're going to start, look, I'm glad you started with Jay Carts and the jumper presentation. I have been asked whether I was triggered by the Steve Morris of all people, and I'm not. And you know, the funny thing is Jay Carts had almost exactly the kind of game he has in the VFL, but he took it up another level. Like he was solid. If you're watching that game on a VFL outer without the benefit of commentary and a really good stat sheet and high quality TV coverage, you just would have thought. And you know, there are other players running around who are a bit more just that you don't know. You would have said. Like it is Jake Arts, is that you never notice him doing anything brilliant, but you notice vague competence, and you go and you check, oh, who was that? And then someone will say, oh, it was Arts, and you go, oh, and that's like he was competent throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Stevie Morris playing as a forward, because he actually has a few tricks, like they're not real. Mm-hmm. He's never going to kick goal of the year. You know, he's not like some of our other players, but you know, that fake to the out and back to the inside, you know, he did that, was impressive. He's got a few little skills, he gets the right positions. And Nick, I've got a stat for you. So of our small forwards, and this excludes Higgins, but we've between Rioli, Bolton and George and Arts, we've had 14, between the four of them, they've played 14 games of football this year, and Arthur's 15 possessions was equal top of those 14 games.
Which is actually just an indictment on
a little bit,
Castagna, yeah. Actually, because he averaged 15 disposals a game last year.
Yeah, and if you average 15, you should be having some around 18, 19, as well as ones much lower. And his his pressure acts were fine. They were the lowest of the... They were less than Rioli, less than George, but they were sort of... You know, they were in, he was within cooey of it, so... You know, well, I don't think it's really fair to say his pressure was especially good of the forwards. It certainly was not lacking. So, you know, all in all, a very tidy game and
solid.
Solid, but which is exactly how he plays in the VFL, and it's unusual. He's managed to take his, at least for one game, he's managed to take his VFL game per exactly to the AFL, which he, you know, is hard because it's obviously the standard's higher. So, yeah, interesting. And it got me thinking about the standard VFL football, which we'll talk about with some other players too.
So one of the things I like to do when, you know, we draft a mature age player is look and actually see how long he's been on the AFL radar for. So, like, everyone knew about Kane Lambert. He'd been sort of considered draftable for about 3 years. Whereas, so Nathan Broad was never on the draft radar until his he was 23 actually. You know, as a 18-year-old, he was toiling away in the VFL in the Waffle Colts without anybody ever thinking he was going to be an AFL player. And Jake Arts is the same. Like people only started talking about him as a you know, prospective AFL player after he'd been in the VFL 5 years. It's a great story.
Yeah, well, you know, good luck to him. He's got his AFL game, which is more than 99.99% of the population. And, you know, if he keeps playing like that, you know, he'll need to start kicking goals too, but he almost did.
Would have been a great backheel goal.
And sort of like, you know, I think it's fair to say I haven't been the biggest fan of his on the pod. Not that I've got anything against him. I just watched a lot of VFL games where he didn't inspire. But he was always solid. As I think I said to you and on Twitter before the game, if this bucks some of the other players up, you know, I'm fine by it because, you know, as you pointed out, and George isn't the only one. That's some of our smaller... some of our small forwards haven't exactly been in champagne form, so if you've got another person there pushing for spots, you know, you it motivates you. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that Nank, sadly, just before his injury, just came back, having lost his spot, he came back very angry and he played like a man with a point to prove, and and that's even someone with a great work ethic like Nank. Like, you know, competition is good, monopolies are bad.
And I think he keeps his spot this week. I think Bolton comes back in for Sheds, and yeah, there's, you know, some would say it's not hard to keep your spot when you've got five potential exclusions, but six even. But there we go.
Arts might be playing in midfield.
We've talked this long without mentioning Noah Bolter. He had a pretty interesting game.
He did indeed. He almost certainly would have been best on ground for us had he not kicked some of those beautiful bullet passes straight to the position in the middle of the grounds. He's the sort of the other parts of it, like the amount of intercepts he had 10, by far leading the team. And the powerful, strong contested marks, you know, judging the ball nicely in flight. I mean, even not starting with him is a bit of burying the lead because he was great.
Yeah, and I loved how confident he was going for his marks. It almost made me wonder if that confidence is going to be misplaced when he goes up against really high quality opposition. But yeah, it was pretty impressive.
It was impressive, and he was the one who also got me thinking about the VFL. Is that? Because he doesn't look that good in the VFL. Like, he played better than he does in the VFL. Not just he took his game up, he played better. And, you know, as players often say, it's harder at the lower level. Just because, you know, it's more chaotic football, your teammates aren't as good, not as easy to read. But, you know, that probably shouldn't be the case for key backs. And, you know, people say that, but also, you know, Sam Lloyd you used to get 45 possessions in the VFL. Trent Cotchin in his one, I think once got 30 touches and a half in his one of his very few VFL games on the come up. So, you know, it's not, maybe it's for different positions, but it definitely, I mean, I'd like to believe that that's going to be Noah Bolter every week, and just he can just, if he just takes out the turnovers, as he's going to be all Australian, goes down the line a bit more. Maybe you could find a teammate who's can drill him on going down the line a bit.
Yeah,
but if he can do that, it's amazing. But yeah, hopefully,
yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
look, I think you can't ever hope that a super athletic centre half back has the Alex Rance career, because nobody has the Alex Rance career except for, you know, it was such a unicorn to go from, you know, VFL reserves in his first year to, you know, five-time All-Australian, right? But, you know, he can be a very good player. The potential is certainly there.
Yeah, I mean, not forgetting that Alex Rance was also a very good junior. You know, there were signs, and as we know from Emma Clark's book, that some teams thought he should have been a top, sort of top. Well, Hawthorn had him ranked as like the sixth or seventh best player in the draft that year. Anyway, since we're going through the recently promoted, I think we need to talk about Chole too.
Yeah, I got it. For those of us who, you know, again, watch too much blurry draft videotape, his foot skills. It's obviously the same person, but it's not the same kicking motion or outcomes from those kicks when he was a junior. Like, there's a distant podcast of me saying, oh, I don't think he's a key forward because he's kicking for goals too bad. Like, wow, is he the only ruckman in the AFL who you would want kicking the ball on the run?
Someone described him on the internet as the best tall man they've ever seen as a kick. Interesting one. Yeah, I mean, that kick to Jack, obviously, is part of what you're referring to, was just brilliant. Sticks in the mind.
He had a couple, I thought.
Yeah, and that's fair. Like, he's a magnificent kick. His game wasn't as good on the replay, to be honest, as I thought first time. You know, first time you're sort of struck by the good things, and then you go back and you see sort of some of his one or two of his non-competitive right contests. I did like that. I thought he was getting. I thought he's. You know, there's no way to statistically prove this. I thought sort of when those contested possessions on the ground, he was sort of cracking incredibly. Like, I think he's put on a couple of kilos of muscle, and he's not sort of just standing there ineffectually. He does actually hit people and you know, contribute. So he actually had a reasonable amount of pressure points. So, you know, there were positives in the game, but he had no possessions in the first quarter. And according to, I know actually I've seen people think he got a hit out to advantage, and the commentators called that, but according to the stats, he didn't get a single hit out to advantage and barely won a tap out, so, and rocked for a considerable period of the game. So it's the question, I kept coming back to the point of what's he good at. It's like the Broad as a ruckman, he's not good at neither. Well, Chole sort of almost, he's not good at rucking, but he's not, well, he's better than Broad, at least he puts more of a contest, but he is good at some things.
He nearly had a very good day marking the ball.
Yeah.
When he can run and jump at the ball, he's quite hard to stop. He looks like he's going to mark the ball. We've talked before, I think he's got quite a high centre of gravity, so he's not nearly as good at the standing there wrestling with somebody marking contest. But if he's running and jumping, I was interested by the selection, because we've talked about other our opponents have often gone tall against us in recent weeks, and I wonder if that's with the shorter game, it's less of a endurance contest, and marking footballs a bit more important. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it was bloody lucky that we chose the tactics that week, because you know, imagine if it
had a
week. I mean, can you imagine sort of like a quarter and a half of I don't know who would have, probably McIntosh rucking against Gorm. You know, they might have taken McIntosh home, on a stretcher. So yeah, it was fortuitous that we changed our strategy that week, and I thought it turned out really well when we had two rucks.
Yeah, I don't like the makeshift ruck thing. Although, hats off to the creativity for having Kane Lambert contest a centre bounce against Max Gorn.
Yeah, CCJ got a big rap in the and you know, I'd like to keep us experimenting, and especially now that we don't have Nank anymore. Hopefully not too bad, but it was pretty bad according to the injury report, but we might see him before the end of the year. Look, we've gone through all the very recent promotions. I think we should now pay credit to welcome back Kane Lambert.
Yeah. So my first note on him is he a barometer for Richmond?
Not a bad one.
I think because when last year, most of the time when we had the big injury toll, we were pretty good fun. But there was a real low point, and particularly that Geelong game, where among others, Kane Lambert was out, and then Kane Lambert comes back for the St Kilda game, you know, with others, including Trent Cotchin. But yeah, it really makes a big difference when he plays well.
Yeah, some people were saying that, like, they, you know, his role changed a bit, but yeah, whatever it was, you know, 12 contested possessions, like 3 goals. God, oh God, it's those round the corner goals. It just gives me, it feels like finals, you know. So yeah, it was great to watch.
Either round the corner or running into the goal square.
Right? Yep, fair.
But yeah, the smother then goal, that was.
Oh, God, so good.
God, that would have been heartbreaking for Melbourne fans. It was pretty great. Dusty's not at full strength.
No, it's like, and he really advertised it. Like, you know, sort of, it was the, had there been a crowd there, you could have been on the top deck of the Southern Stand and known that Dusty wasn't right. So, you know, cracked ribs was the report.
I think he got a knock in the second quarter, because it was only the second quarter that he was spending a lot of time on his knees. But yeah, I think he was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, so when he missed a game, the club said it was ribs. I hope that's true, because it does get better. He has had it before though, so it might have been made up. But it's consistent with what.
Thank you, Conspiracy Andy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, whatever, you know, you're going to be careful about what you admit to the injury with your star player. But it seems his behaviour is consistent with ribs. Hopefully it will get better. Probably flying didn't help it, but like, he was our fourth best player, which I think that's the best game he's played since the comeback. So, you know, he was present and useful. Fourth best player and champion. I think he was better on the AFL rating. So, you know, it was obviously not peak Dusty, but, you know, we sometimes forget that Dusty wasn't always peak Dusty pre-2017 either. Higo, I think that's almost repeating what we said the last week. Is like really impressively busy and useful. Second best player on the champion data ratings. 8 score involvements. A lot of pressure acts. One, I think our best small forward. Oh no, George had one more. But very useful, busy player. Kicked another goal. Had a lot of game time. Playing really well. 8 intercepts too.
Good. Yeah, I was going to say that when you looked at the players who got the most intercepts for us, you know, Bolter, Higgins, like, it had concerned me, particularly against Hawthorn. Like, I just felt the younger players weren't carrying their share of the load, and he was good. At the other end of the spectrum, I thought Jack looked pretty frisky, if not having a huge day to show for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, he had his moments. I'm not sure I love him as a media commentator, I have to say, at the moment.
I think I've had it enough, possibly.
I'm having slight flashbacks to Yeah, the club not being all those years ago when, you know, he jumped the fence. Look, I actually thought he had a point when he, the analytical point he was making at the time where he got in trouble, well, was probably the truth. But I think, you know, I'm sure he'll be interesting as a when he's retired. But I think he'll be slightly egocentric. How do I say that? Commentator. Which will put him in very good company. Most of them are. Mm. He was like, I think your call about leading the AFL marks inside 50, I think you could see that on the weekend.
Mm.
He was useful. And I thought Lynch was brave with, you know, obviously a broken hand, but, he still kicked three goals, so he had three goals too.
And missed one from the goal square, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Would have sealed the game, actually.
I only had one more, but people talk about Nathan Broad being underrated. I actually think he's properly rated. He's a decent player on a good team. But he does get beaten one on one. More than the other guys, but I thought he was pretty good defensively.
Yeah, like, it does beg the question is, how much do you want him to be rated? Like, what's an appropriate level of rating for Nathan Broad? for your back pocket who has very low possession counts, is purely defensive player. But
who works really hard. Yeah, he's a very useful complementary player, but yeah.
I'm a little bit of an island here. I think there's blatant favouritism, but I still like Cameron McIntosh in the team. I know he's a bit messy and he's turning the ball over, but I just think I just like the way he cracks in and gets to contest. Mm.
That marking effort in the last quarter was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Flossie's not in great form.
No. And Grimes isn't at last year's level either.
No, that's fair. And I have to say, on Castagna Island, which is occupied by a prominent member of the Richmond literary community, that hand pass turnover, that was pretty bad.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, the Dimmer's reaction in the box.
Yeah, we're all Dimmer that day. He did lead... Yes, he led the forwards for pressure acts, so I don't think he'll get dropped. By the way,
George never gets dropped. When was the last time George got dropped?
Well said. Yeah, the coach likes his chaos. And he's sort of like a medieval cannon that, you know, very effective at sieging, very, very good, important weapon of warfare, but occasionally blows up in your face. Can't win without it. It will occasionally kill your soldiers.
Yeah, good point. We spent the whole 2017 final series debating whether he should be dropped.
It was good debate. If only we'd know in 2019 he'd kick no, he'd have five shots of goal in the grand final.
Yeah. Did you have anything else from the seniors?
No, I think... Look, I just go back to the point. I enjoyed it. It was nice to have Richmond back. And I hope we can take that form into the hub. It's going to be really... We'll talk about the game in a second, but it's going to be really interesting with the new team.
Mm. So, let's pour one out to the 13-a-side scratch matches, because I think we had our last one for a while, because they've taken... 32 or 33 players up to the Gold Coast. So, yeah, those guys who don't get picked are doing, you know, circle work or, contesting grills or the like. But I can't see any game footy for them in the immediate future. But, yeah.
It's a bit of a slap in the face, really, isn't it? Because, you know, you're playing VFL. Everyone's in the VFL together. You know, they're sort of not...
Mm.
You're not... You know, you don't know whether you're 15 players away from selection or three. You know, and when you go home and speak to your parents or you know, on the phone, or your friends or your girlfriend, you know, the coach said, I'm going to keep trying hard, I'll get picked. But yeah, when you're sort of yeah, like, you're really, when you don't get on that plane, you're really, really clearly at the back of the queue.
Yeah, but I don't know who hasn't gone, but I don't think there's anyone who's not a first or second year player who's...
Well, do we know if Ben Miller's on the plane?
I think so, yeah. I thought I saw him, actually.
Oh, okay. I spent way too much time looking at those photos. That is really weird. It's sort of...
Yeah.
And did you also follow Tom Lynch when he was flying on Flight Tracker?
No, I just followed other people who was doing it. Actually, speaking of people in the hub, Dave Asprey was moving pretty nicely, I thought, actually.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and the injury report was that he was tracking ahead of schedule.
Yeah, also, did you see Prestia, after breaking all our hearts by crying on the back of the line?
Oh, no.
And the commentary not helping at all. like, it looks like...
Yeah, he'd torn both ACLs on the commentary.
And the bubonic plague. He's packing 3 to 6, apparently. I reckon it'll be 6, but like, I'd take that. We all would have taken that. At the final sign.
I was thinking mid next year.
Yeah. Actually, Cochin's one will be interesting. And you know, full credit to him that he went up to the hub, because God, we need that leadership. It'll be interesting, because it's sort of this minor hammy that keeps pinging, and at what point. I can relate to this, is like, is he going to go for the full rehab, be super conservative, or is he just sort of strengthen it up and it says it goes. You know, I just write off 2019. Interesting one. But it'll be interesting to see how they manage it and how he chooses to use it. Because he's a master at the sneaky hamstring. Have you noticed, like, he keeps getting injured and you almost never know he did it?
Yeah. Well, they're not real, you know, ripping them off the bone. You know, just little, you know, dare I say it, old man niggles, which I think we're both familiar with.
Yeah, well, as someone who has done that, a hamstring, though, but everyone knows when I've done a hamstring, because I sort of, you know, you limp off the ground outside the rotation, and because, you know, it doesn't happen in a convenient spot, and you have to sort of leave. You know, you're jogging slower than you should be as you get off the field. But yeah, somehow he manages to do it near the bench or something, or just slip off, or, you know. Yeah, anyway. So yes, 14 aside is, but the coach is getting super positive with all these reports and all the players, which is reducing the already limited value of the VFL report.
Yeah, Jack, he didn't talk up Jack Ross, which was a bit disappointing.
Yeah, that's fair. And he also got injured, so that doesn't help.
Yeah. We're contractually obliged to mention Oleg Markov got off to a good start.
Stop me if you've heard that.
Xavier Clark specifically mentioned Pickett and Stack. Both had big tackle counts, which I think was very clear. That was what they were sent back down to the reserves to focus on. So that was good to see. I think they're certainly both in the squad this weekend. Ben Miller is getting better from very low base, but
nice reports.
Hugo Ralph Smith hasn't. I don't think has gone up to the Gold Coast, and you know, is a ways away. But Coach gave him a rep. That was nice to see. You mentioned CCJ, Thompson Dow, good. I think he might be maybe a sneaky chance for a debut this weekend.
And I reckon Paddy Nash is the, after quite a big wrap-up, is a sneaky chance as well.
Yeah. And Bolton definitely back in the Shane Edwards role that we mentioned. But yeah, pull one out for the scratch match Tigers.
Yeah, I miss the VFL. Proper VFL. Proper footy and punt road oval. Sydney.
Yes. They are rebuilding. properly for the first time in about 20 or so, nearly 20 years. There's still a core of a very solid midfield with, you know, Parker, Kennedy, Jake Lloyd wins a ton of the ball. They're a surprisingly poor. They're somehow plus 10 in disposals per game compared to their opposition, but minus 4 in inside 50s. And I think there's a lot of uncontested ball around half back to their game at the moment. Like, they've got some good players and they're very solid, and as a team they're organised and they try hard, but yeah, it's a ways away.
Yeah, and they have a injury list that's not dissimilar to us. Are you feeling slightly jibbed that we don't get to see the Buddy versus Noah passing of the torch game?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, that would have been pretty good. Nick Blakey, who, you know, Sydney annoyingly enough get these top five caliber academy picks every couple of years. Callum Mills, Jake Heaney, and now Nick Blakey is probably going to be the best of the lot. I mean, 19-year-old key forwards are never particularly good, but he is very good for a 19-year-old key forward.
Yeah, and so he'll be one to watch. But yeah, it's a hard game to predict, isn't it? Because you have so much turnover, and it's the team hasn't been very predictable anyway. And now we've lost all our midfield basically, except our injured superstar. Shades of the Port game last year, except the Port game we did have Dusty and Lynch, and it was a fully operational Death Star Dusty. There's two ways. Sydney are not nearly as good as team Port is, and they are still playing away. I'm sort of weirdly confident in a this is a very hard match to predict kind of way.
Oliver Florent is second in the AFL in inside 50s. He's a rare Swans high draft pick. He's only 21 years old. He's on his way to being a pretty good player. Turns it over a bit, but he's got a little bit of Andrew Gaff about him.
The one thing I'm pleased at is we're playing at the Gabba, because I think we play there reasonably well.
I thought it was Metricon.
Well, according to the AFL, it's Gabba, but then Carlton are playing at Metricon, but maybe they've stuffed that up.
Either doesn't bother me at all. They're both sort of big, pretty neutral stadiums as far as I'm concerned. Who's their starting ruckman?
I don't know.
Hayden McLean.
Oh yeah, he was on. I was challenged by someone when I was fanboying Soldo about who's worse, who's got a worse ruckman in the AFL, and I looked at him quite hard.
Him and Alia against Nick Nat last week was not very pretty. And McLean did kick a couple of goals going forward, but yeah, they're big. Alia aside, they're and Dean Rampey down back, but. Yeah, their key forwards are pretty scrappy at the moment.
Yeah, well, it's time for Soldo to, my lad Soldo. It's like, you know, it's time to shine. Hopefully he comes back angry with a point to prove. Doesn't sit quite his style, but
He does like throwing his weight around, though.
Yeah, he does, but he sort of does it in a sort of baby-faced assassin kind of way. He doesn't... Nank looks angry when he plays.
He does, yeah.
And he's looked especially angry. I'm not sure, sort of... He rarely does an extra bit of violence just to make a point, whereas Nank totally does that all the time. Soldo does the necessary level. So yeah, different players, but you know, maybe you know me. I'm always looking forward to seeing the ruck battle, and I'm really interested to see how Chol goes in his follow up game. Because, I mean, this really depressed me a bit, because it's the big man who's a good athlete but not really very good at football. The internet comments are always, he just needs to get a bit of confidence and then he'll be good. You know, people said that about Ben Griffiths for 5 years. And I said about Chol before, but I just saw the same comment again about Chol. He just needs to get that bit of confidence and then he'll be right. Well, he also needs to crack in harder, and he needs to do things like run back into defence harder than he did at times last week. But there's a lot there, so it's exciting to watch. I'm really looking forward to this game. The Melbourne game has rekindled my affection for watching this team.
I know. The most of the time, 2019 injured Richmond was pretty good fun. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's a bit like Dusty Rhodes against the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. This is always a new challenge. And on that note, Nick.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.